The thing that has changed in 30 years since Roots is the consciousness of mankind, of people. The consciousness that the world is shrinking quite rapidly with the computers and the internet, and everybody knows just about what's happening everywhere else. Things that are happening that were happening for years that nobody knew about, now people know. Now it's right and ripe for the story of Roots and slavery. We have to tell them, and there's a couple of films that are out that are quite popular, and they've all three that I have, that I'm very fortunate to be participating in, from Roots to doing the audiobook of 12 Years a Slave and being in the Book of Negroes.
What do modern films do differently from what Roots did, or do you not see any difference?
I see it was about the same for the similar effect. When Roots came out, it was thought to be a failure. They thought there was going to it had to be done because of an obligation, but they had no idea what an incredibly successful miniseries it was. It stopped the world, but the people who did it didn't expect that. They thought that times would never change. And once again, we have to realize that times change always, whether we like it or not, even today. So when times changed and people saw Roots, it's made history. 12 Years a Slave is the same. Times have come to the place where 12 Years a Slave was extremely important. It was a little bit more visual. And now the Book of Negroes, 6 hours on BET, wonderful network to tell this incredible story about this woman and her experiences. It's all relevant at its particular time. And I'm very fortunate to be participating in all three.
Telling these stories about slavery in the past did arouse a sense of discomfort. Mm-hmm. Is that disappearing, that sense of discomfort?
I have a feeling that it's not disappearing, but I learned my lessons because I always had, even doing those films, a sense of discomfort, a sense of anger and resentment. But I had the good fortune of spending a little bit more than a half hour with the great Nelson Mandela. And all of the stuff that was in my system, he should have felt 100 times. 27 years he lost it. He was separated from his wife, and he was tortured and electrocuted. And I asked him a question. I said, the world was very nervous to see what you would say when you came out of Robben Island. And when you came out of Robben Island, you came with a smile on your face. And he looked at me with a smile on his face, and he said, it is a much bigger picture than me getting revenge. We have a world to save, some children to educate and get them to be responsible for the salvation of the planet and to grow. And if we do that, then nothing can stop us again. Now, I believe in God, and I think there's a kind of a sense of humor. We've come full circle. I don't believe that the world can survive without the deep rules and regulations that happened in early Africa. That's what's happening. But so it's our job not to be angry, not to be resentful, but to have tunnel vision, even if they might kill some of our children, to know that it is our responsibility to bring peace to this planet and to be benevolent. We have a lot to teach the rest of the world on how to save this planet. We're the first ones to practice it, and we must be relied upon.
Could we say perhaps this is what informed your founding a racism?
Yes.
Why specifically?
Well, because I'm a grandfather. I have quite a few grandchildren, and there's something about me and young people, not just young people, but teenagers, college age. I've become kind of a follower, and I speak at universities and churches because of my foundation called E-Racism. Racism is a disease. I call it a disease and a dis-ease of society, and it's a throwback from the last generation. It was France against England, and England against Sweden, and Italy against Rome, and Rome against the... That era of conquering and controlling has reached its end. That kind of civilization, that part of civilization, has painted themselves into a corner. They've contributed in their wonderful architecture, in their philosophies, in their science, in their paintings, in their art. But that automatic assumption of superiority has reached its end. We get signals from this planet, or God, or whoever you might believe in, that we must pay 100% attention to the workings of this planet, bringing the air back to purity, putting fish back in the water, making sure it's not polluted, adjusting the weather. And we need us all to be together to do that. And we need to give this planet to the next generation a little bit more pristine shape so they can have a better life. And if we're not doing anything other than that, we all may as well be in a 747 airplane. And it's at 30,000 feet, and the plane is about to crash. But everybody inside the plane is fighting over who's going to be in first class. It does not matter who's in first class, because nobody wins a war.